Have you ever heard or seen anything that made you go, duh? Or, wait, what? You know, I can remember helping raise one of my granddaughters when that saying caught on, and that saying's gone now, but it's still in my head. Because I see things all the time that make me really stop and go, wait a minute, what? Did I really hear that? Did that really just happen? Well, this past week, I had a couple of things that really made me go, duh. And so one of them up here, there's a slide. And can you guys tell me, what is this? It's a gas station. What kind of gas station? Can you tell there? King Soopers gas station. Okay. Now, just for information's sake, because I was totally curious when this happened. I was like, all right, now what is this about? So did you know that Kroger, who owns King Soopers, as of January 31st, 2026, has 1,731 gas stations, all under the Kroger label, King Soopers label. They now have more gas stations than Quick Trip, Murphy's USA, or Wawa. They're big. Here is the thing that made me go, wait, what? Do you see anything wrong here? Quick Trip and Kroger have nothing to do with each other. They're competitors. So I pull up to Quick Trip. I go there a lot. I get a 25 cents a gallon discount. So I go there. It's actually cheaper than Sam's or Costco for me. And so I pull up and I literally did the wait what, got out and took a picture. I just had to have a picture. And here's the thing that really makes it crazy. There is a King Soopers gas station just slightly over a mile down the very same road. And so I'm like, okay, I don't get this one. Just one of those weird things in life that makes you step back and take a double take. And so going home Saturday, I kind of had another one of those. I'm going down Highway 34 towards Greeley. You guys know we live in West Greeley. And all of a sudden comes up beside me in the other lane is one of these. Okay? In case you don't know, this is a Lotus Amera. They start base price about $100,000. And if you go, you know, get a few luxury items, really quickly you can run it up to between $124,000 and $160,000. And so what made me go, wait, what, was not seeing this car. Right after I wiped the drool off my chin, no, I'm kidding, I'm kidding. This is what made me go, wait, what? That was the license plate. Can you see it? Simplify. I'm driving a $100,000 car with a license plate that says Simplify. Definitely my brain went, what? You know? Guys, if I could afford $100,000 on a car, I'd pay off my house. You know, maybe his house paid off. I don't know. Anyway, the thing that, as this happened through this week, it made me begin to think, you know, sometimes as we read the Word of God, and we've been in this series, Eyewitnesses, and some of the things that we read in the Word, some of the things that we hear the stories of from the authors, from the disciples that have been with Christ, and the stories are retold, make me go, wait, what? Because they just don't quite feel real. But yet we know that they are real. And today, as we begin to look into the scriptures, this is one of those times that I think for many Christians, they say, that sounds like craziness. That sounds out of order. That doesn't even sound like a Bible thing, but yet it is. I'd like to pray real quick. Lord, thank you. Thank you for prayers. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts, our minds, just to hear what you would speak to us today. And I trust you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, before we go into looking at this event that has such an impact on the Christian church, and it really does and is a pivotal point for the early Christian church. But I want to share a couple of things first from what Paul said and down around the road in just a second about Jesus said. So reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Now let's examine that for just a second. God's given us a gift, and it's a spirit, not the spirit of the world, but what? The spirit who is from God. Why? The scripture explains it right there in Corinthians. So that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is, to me, one of the most fascinating cycles in Christianity. God gives us the Holy Spirit. We have spiritual truth in spiritual words in the Bible. God, in His grace, has given us His written words so that we can better understand His Spirit. And also in His grace, He has given us His Spirit so we can better understand His Word. Wow. Okay. I'm going to give you a gift, and then I'm going to give you another gift so you understand better the first gift. And the first gift will help you understand better the second gift. He planned for us to understand. He planned for us to know what He is doing. Let me share with you a couple of things Jesus says. John 15, 26 and 27. And Jesus says this, when the advocate, which in case you don't know is another word for spirit, I'm not going to go into all the details about it, but it's Holy Spirit's often called the advocate. When the advocate comes, Jesus speaking, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me. Jesus goes to the Father, says, Father, send the Holy Spirit to them. And what's the Holy Spirit going to do? Testify of Jesus. See the cycle? He's placed it in us. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Of course, at this point, he's talking to the disciples. John 16 and 7. And if you aren't familiar with this scripture, I really recommend you write it down. Because this is a scripture that you have to pause and go, what? But verily I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Let me read that again. I'm not sure you caught it. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Now this is Jesus talking to his disciples. And he says, it's a really good thing I'm leaving. Huh? That doesn't sound like a very good thing to me. And I imagine the disciples are saying, hey, wait a minute. You know? This isn't a good thing. We need you. You're our leader, our master, our Lord, our Messiah, our rabbi. You are our life. But yet he says, it's good that I go away. Why? Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. It became a necessity because of God's plan that Jesus ascend into heaven and that the Holy Spirit is then poured out on God's kids. And so he made it really clear, I have to leave because God is coming in the form of a spirit that you cannot see. But you can feel him. You will know him. He will lead you. He will testify of me. He'll give you understanding in the scripture. He will empower you. But in order for all of that to happen, for you to become totally filled with the Holy Spirit, I must leave. Wow. That is a powerful statement. And when our minds begin to wrap around it, we oftentimes think, man, how awesome it would be if Jesus just showed up in person and I could have a chat with him. Well, my friend, it is awesome. That would be awesome. But you can have a chat with him right now, in this moment, in this second. You can have a chat with him in the middle of the night because he dwells in you. Isn't that odd how Christ begins to provide for us? All right, as we begin to move forward, obviously this is what we call Pentecost Sunday. So I'm going to talk about Christmas. No, sorry. At least I know you're still awake. Let me set the stage for what we're going into. We're going to go into the book of Acts. We're going to look at eyewitness accounts. And so here we are. This is what we're in the stage setting, is we're coming up on what they call Shabbat. Shabbat was a Jewish holiday, and it was one of three of the major holiday feasts where, under Jewish law, faithful Jews, the men would all go to Jerusalem. Now, that doesn't mean that the wives and kids didn't sometime attend, but believe it or not, at this time, it was actually required that the men go. And so they go, so you can imagine how big, how full the town's going to be. And Shabbat is a celebration of the early wheat harvest, okay, and giving their first fruits to God. It's also a reminder of the giving of the law. It commemorates, had trouble getting that out, the exact day God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. It occurs 50 days after the Passover. Okay, this is actually where the name Pentecost came from, by the way, because the word Pentecost was used really commonly among Greek-speaking Jews. And then, of course, we know as the New Testament became written and it was written in Greek, that that would have been a common word that the people would understand. And Pentecost means 50. That's all it means. Okay? So that's where that name comes from. So we're coming up on the day of Pentecost. So now, this is what happens on that day. Acts 1, verses 4 through 8, leading into that day. We're 10 days out. We're beginning to build towards Shabbat. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, Jesus had died and buried, resurrected, hanging out with the disciples. And that'd be kind of special. He was eating with them. He gave them this commandment. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water. I need to pause right here half a second. This is not in my notes, so don't freak out. I always apologize to the tech crews because I'm impossible to follow. My wife comes to me and said, man, the Lord gave this to me this morning, and I really think it was a word from the Lord. Some of you will laugh at this, but it's going to make sense before this service is over. The Lord gave her this phrase, smoke on the water. Okay? Now, if you're Deep Purple fan, you're familiar with the story. But I think God was telling her something altogether different, and I'm like, we're going to talk about baptisms today. So do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Now, I want to help you understand that statement. That statement is really simple in the fact that this would have made sense in a political sense. Israel was under the rule of the Roman Empire, being somewhat controlled, you know, where they can live and when they can do this and that. And, and, you know, have Caesars and all of these different things. And so in their mind, when Jesus has talked for 3 years all about the kingdom, they're still thinking politically. They're still thinking the Lord's going to establish his kingdom and he's going to rule and reign and we're going to overthrow the Romans and we get to be in charge with him. Yahoo! You ever spend a whole lot of time with Jesus and then suddenly realize you completely missed the point? That happens to me more often than I'd like to admit, to be honest. That's what's happened to the disciples. They missed the point. They understood the kingdom, but they didn't understand the kingdom. They still were trying to relate it to their circumstances, to the physical situation. And the kingdom of God will impact circumstances and physical situations. But the kingdom of God was never meant to be physical, nor was it meant to be political. It is a spiritual kingdom built on the Father himself. And they missed the point. Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus was so gentle. I probably would have looked at him and said, I've been with you 3 years. Haven't you listened to a single stinking thing I said? But Jesus didn't do that, thank God. He'd probably want to say that to me daily. He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or the date the Father has set by his own authority. Catch this? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I could expound on that forever, but I'm not going to. What I want you to catch is this important part. You will receive power when? When the Holy Spirit comes on you. Okay? That's when the power begins to set in. We are about to move into a transitional moment. Guys, the Christian church is about to radically change. After we come into this day of Pentecost, over the next 100 years, the New Testament is written. Multiples of people, Jew, Gentile, are filled with the Holy Spirit. The church grows rapidly into multiple countries. Wow. Pew Research, a few years ago, came out with a study and a statistic, and it was interesting to me what they discovered. Christianity is the only major religion that has a major presence in every country in the entire world. Is that amazing? The only major religion, and there's religions that are older, that has a major impact in every country, in a major place, in every country in the world. Okay? Wow. Wow. Okay, let's look at this. Now we're coming into our wait what moment. Because when we read this story, we have to admit this is one of the strangest stories in the Bible. I mean, this tops a jackass giving instructions to a king. I mean, duh. Okay? So, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost comes, they were all together in one place. Suddenly. Do you guys understand suddenly? Suddenly is when you hit the light switch and the bulb blows up. Whoa! Didn't expect that. Now, they were gathered there. They were waiting. Jesus told them to come, wait. Said the Holy Spirit's going to come. Well, okay. So the day of Pentecost comes. They were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. It wasn't. Think hurricane. Think tornado. A violent wind, that rushing sound of wind becoming down the street. You ever go, walk outside instead quiet, and 30 seconds later, the trees are like leaning sideways, and you're trying to walk, and you're being pushed back. Okay, yeah. Yeah, imagine that. So here you are, you're hanging out with some other Christians, you're all praying. Suddenly, this sound like a blowing of a violent wind comes from heaven. Okay, that's one thing. And filled the whole house. Okay, so now this violent wind is inside the building. Come on. Wait, what? Can you imagine sitting in that circumstance? What would you feel? What would you think? It would be overwhelming. I'm certain they felt a presence of God that they probably had not ever sensed before. They had been with Jesus. They had seen Jesus do miracles. God had used them to do miracles. But this was different. Everything was happening at the same time. I'm sure they felt overwhelmed by the presence of God. I would have been. Have been. Filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire, smoke on the water. They'd already experienced a water baptism. Wow. What appeared to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on all of the good leaders. Oh, you guys don't have that version, do you? I'm sorry. Who did come to rest on? Each of them, every single one of them. It did not make any difference if they were rich or poor, if they hadn't showered in a month, or they just had a bath in the river today. It didn't matter if they were male or female. It sat down on each one of them. God was doing something, not in the leadership, but in each individual. Guys, we are the body of Christ, just as they were the body of Christ. Every single individual needs the power and the presence and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I think sometimes in the vineyard, it feels like some of us have really forgotten that we are empowered evangelicals. Okay? We're not living for the day of Pentecost so we can all, you know, speak in tongues and dance in the Spirit and stand on our head and walk on our ears. Those are wonderful experiences when we encounter the Holy Spirit that way. But we are empowered to be witnesses for Christ. And it makes no difference if you're a janitor, a street sweeper, a pastor, a billionaire. It makes no difference your color. It makes no difference your sex. God wants His Spirit to be dwelling in you. He wants you to be able to understand when He says, hey, go this way, and to say, yes, Lord, I'll do that. I have no idea why I'm going this way, but I feel the nudge from God that I need to pursue this way. And if you will do that, you will be surprised how the Holy Spirit will show up and do the unexpected. So it said on each of them, all of them, all of them, all of them. Did that soak in?
Yeah.
Okay. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Okay. Wow. There is someone in this room, and they really don't want to be identified, who experienced this in person. In another country, praying for a person, suddenly began to speak in tongues. Felt a little odd about it. Didn't know this person, couldn't speak their language. That person didn't speak English. No interpreter in sight. Praying for them, began to speak in tongues. God bless you. I need to go pray for another person. Latched on to the prayer person's. Held them there. Finally got an interpreter over. I'm shortening a very long story. She talked to the interpreter. The interpreter talked to the person that had been praying, she spoke either in her language or the person being prayed for heard it in her language. She understood what was being prayed over her by someone who did not speak her language. That's one type of the gift of tongues. Okay? I mean, this could become a series that would blow you guys away, what it would do in prayer. And guys, that's part of our roots. That's part of who we are in the vineyard. It's who we are. We are empowered evangelicals. That whole phrase of naturally supernatural. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit shows up, weird things happen. I'm not going to try to deny that. All of a sudden, sometimes it feels like a rushing wind. A building, everyone will be on their feet speaking in all kinds of languages. It's like, that doesn't even make sense, Lord. Other times it's calm and controlled, and it'll come by prophecy. Somebody will get words in tongues, and someone will get an interpretation. There's so much in there. But guys, this is that beginning point. Man, this lit the church on fire, just as it should have. And remember, Jesus used the word baptize when referring to the Holy Spirit. The Greek word is baptismo. And here's what it means: to be immersed or dipped in or submerged in. Then Jesus said, you will receive power. The Greek word for this is dunamis. And it's where we get the word dynamite. Okay? Power, strength, ability, might, miraculous. All comes from that word. Stay with me now. Okay, Acts 2 and 4, what's it say? And they were all filled. The Greek word for filled here is, let me get this as near as right as I can because I have trouble saying it. Kleiro. And what it means, have you ever taken a cup or a glass and you just filled it with water and it just kept slowly filling it? And the next thing you know, the water is actually over the top of the glass, but it's not pouring out. You ever done that? If you haven't, I want to teach it to you because it's fun. That's what this means. Full to its fullest point where it cannot possibly contain one more drop. Wow. It's like a ship with a sail. And when the wind hits the sail strong and it inflates the entire sail, and it will drive the whole ship forward because the sail is completely full. It's that kind of description. It can be used with emotion. So full of anger, you can't control yourself. That's full of emotion. What we need to be is empowered by the Holy Spirit to that point. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Being immersed in the Holy Spirit. Guys, when we're baptized in the Spirit, we are immersed in Him. But more accurately, He submerges us in Himself. Wow. 1 Corinthians 12:13, it's not on a slide. For we're all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Man. That means, guys, that the same Holy Spirit that moved when we prayed for somebody and suddenly they see, or we pray for a broken arm and it's healed. And you go, wow, that person must be a healer. No. No, God's simply using him as a vessel to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. Years ago, Wimber wrote a book, Power Evangelism. I think much of the vineyard, unfortunately, has forgotten about it. Why did he write the book? Look at the life of Jesus. Jesus healed people, and what happened? More people came to Christ. The power of the moving of the Holy Spirit will draw people to Jesus. Yes, it may feel strange. It might look strange. You might even feel awkward. Most of the time, even as a pastor, I feel awkward. I'll be really honest. I go to pray for somebody, and half the time I'm like, man, Lord, show up, because I have no idea what I'm doing, even though I've been doing it a long time. Why? Because it's not about me. It's about His Spirit doing what God does. It's about the kingdom growing. It's about lives being transformed through the Holy Spirit. Power for what? Why are we empowered? Heal the sick. Drive out demons. Raise the dead. Experienced some of those. Haven't had a dead person raised yet. Not to say it won't happen. Know somebody that it did happen. This is the very Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the very Spirit that resurrected Christ from the dead. And He dwells in you. Are you aware He's there? Are you aware He wants to do something far beyond you can even expect or think in you? Are you aware that He wants to change the world around you through you? Here's something. Let me share this statistic. I've got it in my notes, but I wasn't sure I was going to share it, but I want to share it real quick. In 2022, Legionnaire Ministries did a survey. The survey was on the state of theology within the Christian church. The survey had one true or false question. Okay? So it was asked to church-attending Christians. Here is the true or false question or statement, if you please. The Holy Spirit is a force, not a person. Here's what the survey showed. Now, be mindful, this is a few years old, 2022. 60% of church-attending Christians answered true. Guys, do you understand what that means? That means two-thirds of American Christians don't realize that the Holy Spirit is God. They think it's a force sent by God, that we wield it like some kind of power wand. Friends, the Holy Spirit is God. Just as the Father is, just as Jesus is, He is a person. He is not an it, a thing, a that. He is a person. The person of God dwelling in you to empower you to do what God has called you to do. We're not out here on our own. My Lord, if we were, what a mess it would be. Remember that word, Cairo? That's how full of the Holy Spirit He wants us to be. Sometimes we need a fresh filling. Wimber used to say, Jonathan can tell you this, Wimber used to say, we need refilled with the Holy Spirit regularly. Why? We leak. It's what a great statement. It's true. It's true. In fact, sometimes I pray, man, God, I know You're there, but I don't have any sense of You. Lord, please provide me a sense of Your presence. Not every time, but sometimes it moves in so close that, wow, I can't help but rejoice, pray, speak in tongues, cry, whatever the emotion that it impacts. When the Holy Spirit shows up, guys, there's an emotional impact. Guys, God has given me such a precious privilege. We've stepped into things that we were so clueless about. And yet the Holy Spirit showed up. We've seen people delivered from the demonic that made the Exorcist movie look like child's play. God showed up. We've had cancer healings I shared with you just a month ago. A woman we prayed for goes back, starts setting up her treatments. They examine her. The lesions are gone. Had heart healing. Doctors, nothing wrong. We want to live in that spot. Ever talk to someone that said, oh man, I really don't feel well, I'm not well. You pray for them and God heals them, but yet you know they don't know Jesus. What is the Lord doing? The scripture in James teaches us that if they're healed, their sins are forgiven. Well, man, introduce them to Jesus. God healed you for a reason. He loves you. He wants you. He wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. That's the power of evangelism. And it's because we are Holy Spirit people. People driven by God's presence in us. You've heard me share this before, and I'd like to share it again as worship band comes to close. What do we mean when we in the vineyard say, "Come, Holy Spirit"? This is what we mean. "Come, Holy Spirit" is an invitation for the Spirit of God to move in any way he chooses, in us, in our church, and in the world around us. It is a powerful, sometimes dangerous prayer that has been prayed from ancient times. So the question is today, will I say yes? You sense his presence? Will you say yes? Can you stand with me? My wife will be back by the cross. If you want someone to pray with you, I'll kind of hang up here. If you want someone to pray with you, we have others that will be glad to pray with you. Ben, I'm sure, would be glad to pray. Jonathan and David, I know, would be glad to pray with you. Ronnie. Can we say it together? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Have your way with us. It's you, Lord. It's about you. It's not about us. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. You need a healing today. The Spirit of God's here, and he wants to. He wants to.